Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and San Francisco's Blasian beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And hello from bipolar San Francisco.
Right.
Because this weather here in San Francisco has literally been, like, absolutely bipolar.
Right, yes. Yesterday, last week was beautiful. This week it's supposed to rain all week, but then it looks like it might not rain all week. Just
Today was gorgeous. So,
but it's supposed to rain in a couple hours. We'll see.
You can never tell.
It's definitely supposed to be raining by like midnight. There's like a 100% chance.
Oh my gosh! But I enjoyed today. Today was gorgeous weather, so I can't complain. But yeah, we can never know what we're gonna get around here. So just have to take it in stride.
Yeah, I mean, I am happy that we are starting to get nice weather. I was just starting to, forget that we do get nice weather out here.
Yeah, for a while it was really ugly.
But I'm happy about it.
So, you guys, it has been a very eventful week around here for me. I announced last week on the show that I was going to be doing a pro wrestling event over last weekend.
That's right.
At the Santa Clara County Expo and Convention Center with Wrestling for Charity, which actually happened. Pearl, did you see the video?
That was exciting. That was so exciting. I lived.
So,
it looks like you did too. So.
Yes, girl. You guys, the video for that, I posted a video for it on my YouTube channel, and it's got like 750 views in one day.
I love it. It was hilarious. It's been shared around Facebook, so if you guys haven't seen it, jump on somebody's Facebook. I'm sure it's there.
It's kind of... I was shocked so many people were sharing it and so many people were commenting on it. That's why, for the longest time, when I woke up on... I guess on Monday morning or whatever, and I left my house, because I'd posted it on Sunday, it only showed that it had been viewed like 200 times, and I was like, oh, whatever, okay, that's cool, that's cute. But the thing was, I knew it had to be more than that because everywhere I went, everybody was like, oh my God, girl, I saw your video. Oh my God. And then friends were sharing it with other friends and making people watch it. And so what happened, you guys, I would like to definitely give a big round of thanks to Butch, who is the producer and originator of Wrestling for Charity. It's a local Bay Area-based a professional wrestling organization that raises money for charities through providing wrestling events, pro wrestling events. And a while back, I had contacted them because they were bringing in a big name pro wrestling superstar and contacted them and said, hey, could you set me up with an interview for the Huffington Post? And then through our conversations regarding that interview, they learned of my, you know, being a local Bay Area person and my interest in pro wrestling, and they invited me, this was probably 6 months ago or more, to participate in an event with them in South Bay. And then at that event, it started a storyline wherein Kikyo, the Fallen Flower, and I have become very confrontational. Kikyo is one of their top female wrestlers, and she is feuding with The Voice, Donovan Troy, who is their general manager, and I came in as his assistant general manager. And it escalated, so it escalated very quickly.
You got to kick off your shoes.
Yes, I got, girl. People were dying when I was jumped in the wrestling ring. They were like, ah!
When I saw those shoes come off, I was already, like, out.
So, yeah, I jumped in the ring, and then I have to say...
And jumped right back out, girl.
I did. People were like... Ali Mafi's a local Bay Area gay comic, and he was like, Ali... Pollo Del Mar with the botched clothesline and then rolling around on the floor is going to give you everything you need today. was hilarious.
There were literally kids in the audience that didn't know whether to watch it or run away. It was yes. hilarious.
That little the little girl that Pearl's referencing is like probably one of my favorite parts of that whole video. Because she's like, oh my god. It's like she's like looking at her parents like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And there's a guy, during one of like the dramatic parts of the video, you can, Donovan Troy is doing live commentary, like, through the PA system in the Sports Expo. Because, so, we were doing our wrestling right next to some amateur boxing and right next to this UFC fighting, you know, an octagon for UFC. And so he's doing the live broadcasting so everybody can hear it and it would attract people or whatever. And it was just hilarious. So we get in the ring and whatever, and you hear this one guy go, what's that? When I like stand up, he's like, what's that? And I was like, how rude.
I live. Tell me you're gonna be, they're going to have you back.
Mm-hmm. They are. They're actually, I have volunteered to really help them in any way I can because I have extensive experience. The listeners probably don't know, but when I was in my early 20s, I...
That's like, girl, 30 years ago?
It was 20 years ago. It was like...
30 years ago,
It was 20 years ago. So, it was in probably 91 or 92, I contacted a small professional wrestling organization in Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I was going to college at the time. I think I was a freshman in college. And I had seen one of their ads or whatever, their promos, or I'd gone to one of their matches or something like that. And they had a phone number that you could call their hotline. And I left a voicemail with them and said, hey, you know, like, I'm a local college student and I'm really interested in pro wrestling. And so I got called in by those individuals, a guy named Psycho Mike was his name. He sort of ran this small organization in Cleveland. And I got to work with them for a few shows doing, like, as a wrestling manager. Mm-hmm. And then I did color commentary on their television show for probably a year or two. And so this is my first time revisiting all of this. And I offered Butch and the crew at Wrestling for Charity help in any way I can, whether it's helping them find a venue here in San Francisco, because I was like, I know my friends in San Francisco would live to come see this. Or perhaps helping them, you know, put together like a YouTube video series or something of that nature. So hopefully Wrestling for Charity will take me up on that. But I definitely know that Kikyo, Donovan Troy, and I are not done with telling our story.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah. Kikyo, if you're listening, I'm coming for you, bitch. There's a grudge match in the future.
So if people are interested in coming, how would they get information on...
Nothing is set in stone just yet, because Wrestling for Charity promotes events. You know, it takes them, like, several months to produce an event, because it is for charity, and nobody's getting paid, so they have to kind of be mindful of that fact. Right. But definitely watch... If you're interested, you can follow Wrestling for Charity on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to find out about their information. It's at WFC Wrestling on Twitter. So wrestling, it's WFC as in Wrestling for Charity Wrestling. WFC Wrestling on Twitter. So you can definitely follow them. I also, Pearl, you don't even know this, but it has been, we don't have a date set in stone yet, but it has been confirmed that we will be doing Lube Wrestling for Charity.
Yes, come through Lube Wrestling.
So Beth Bicoastal at the San Francisco Eagle contacted me back and said that it's a green light. They've greenlit our project to do present Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl presenting in conjunction with Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants.
Girl, we need a new microphone. We need a new computer. We need a new studio. Girl.
It's going to be Lube Wrestling for Charity coming up at the San Francisco Eagle. We were just talking about how bipolar this weather is, so we're going to wait until we can probably predict some more, you know, consistent weather. So maybe at the beginning of, maybe we can try to, you know.
Sometime after Easter.
After Easter, but like, maybe it could be something where we, like, as we're moving towards Pride season, we could like kick it off.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Something like that. So hopefully we'll have more information on that, but the leather community in San Francisco needs to be on notification because I'm going to be going to some of these hot leather boys and some of our hot go-go dancer friends and asking them to you know, get all lubed up.
I can't wait. Come on, Swiss Navy.
I looked up this kiddie pool type situation.
You need to get a big one, not a little one.
Like, I know, but look at the one I'm going to show. I'm going to show Pearl the one that that I think is good for our needs. I sent a picture to Beth by Coastal and said, can't you see how big this one is? It's big enough to fit a family of four in it.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah,
so
for sure.
We'd put that, we'd make it all slippery, and then they would just get in there, and they'd be like...
Right.
So, it's, you guys, it's this pool, and it shows, like, two children and two adults swimming around in it, or, like, it's, like, probably, you know, waist deep or something, so it'd be just deep enough to get them all slippery and jumping around, and...
That is going to be so grand. I can't wait.
Yeah. You definitely need to get to work on getting yourself referees out.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and I was thinking maybe we could try to get Sister Roma to come in and help us officiate.
That would be fabulous.
Because, you know, Roma loves Swiss Navy and
she has a lot of porno contacts, too.
Yes.
No girl.
We could get some hot porn stars up in there as well. And it's going to be so much fun. It'll be our first live event for charity and for self-promotion, and for getting us, hopefully, a new computer. You guys really, like, I don't want to talk shit about the computer, because last week we started talking shit about
it. And she tried to shut us down.
And it said, oh, yeah, you hate me, huh, bitch? I'll show you.
Right.
It's not that we hate you, dear little computer. It's just the fact that you are...
It's time to go.
Time
to go.
I mean, we'll put you aside for now, but, you know, like, if we can get ourselves a nice new upgrade...
Time to go.
So, anyway... Pearl, how did you spend your weekend, girl? What did you do?
I hung out with a group of friends. I'm also involved with a friend of mine's project. She's doing this project for her master's about how queer and trans people of color are thriving today and what that means to them. And, you know, where, like, if they have spaces to, you know, stuff like that. And this was, like, our second meet out of, I think, three or four. That was a lot of fun, just because you get to kind of think about yourself and people like you positively and see out loud. I mean, it's not that you don't think about, as someone who is trans and of color, like, it's not that I don't think about myself positively, but I don't get to talk about, you know, stuff like that, like, all the time with reflection, without seeming like I'm into myself or something like that.
So, is this in relation to, we know that you had gone a while back to a queer people of color social space. Is this in conjunction with that? And is this exclusively for trans people of color or
it's
trans?
Queer and trans people
okay.
of color.
Okay.
It's not in conjunction with that, but some of the people that moderate that put that together also, which is wonderful. I think we need more spaces like that because I haven't been exposed as even as a person of color who's trans to spaces like that, and I think it's wonderful. So why not? Other than that, though, I just worked on this package for Miss Premier International that I'm competing in Seattle this weekend. I drive out this Friday to compete on Sunday, but I have the interview portion on Saturday, so I guess the pageant really starts on Saturday. And then I come back to the city, hopefully with the crown, on Monday.
Oh my goodness. So that's this weekend.
Yep.
Girl, time is like flying, bitch. Like, time is just like going past real quick.
Right.
So... Well, that is really cool. You know, I have to tell you that our conversations here on the podcast have really started to, like, seep into my consciousness in the way that I interact with other people because I was out in about, like, last week or the week before or something like that, and I met a young man who is... I didn't know at first that he was trans. I questioned, but, uh-huh. You know, whatever. It wasn't necessary to the conversation.
Yeah.
But later on, he came out to me and said, yes, I'm trans. And in our conversation, we were talking, and he was looking to go to some support groups. And he had talked about the possibility of going to this women's group. He's like, well, I think I might go to this women's group. And he was going to go because it was of the time frame that was available. It was, right. Available. And I said, you know, I have to tell you, I suppose you can go to that if you would choose to, but you just told me that you're male.
Right.
And I don't know that it would be fair to the women who go to this meeting if you went there, because I have been, I've been educated that having, a male presence in an all-women's gathering can be disruptive and can change the dialogue and the dynamic of the conversation. And he is a person of color, too. And I said, just like if you went to a group for people of color and people, there was a significant number of Caucasian people came, it would change the dialogue because the comfort level in having that conversation would be changed. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh. And, I was really pleased because I'm like, it's obvious that I've learned something here.
You better come through, Poyo. See? I live.
And so, and afterwards, after we had that conversation, he's like, yeah, I guess, And I said, you have to remember that, you identify as male, and that means that now things that apply to men apply to you. So,
yeah. But even with that being said, that just shows we need more support groups and just positive things where trans people can go to,
So, absolutely. So, well, that's fantastic. It sounds, I ran into this after, Okay, so this afternoon I was heading over to the Castro and I bumped into, you may know him, he's a local politician, he's a local advocate for queer rights, but he also has run for various political
what's
offices.
His name?
His name's Sean Haynes.
Yeah, I know of him.
Okay.
Know of him, yeah.
So his name is Sean Haynes, and we just bumped into each other in passing, and he was en route to go see a friend of his who is a trans woman who has, I guess that she had been at one point in time incarcerated, and then now she advocates for trans people who are in, the legal system who... to make sure that they get the proper representation, because when you're trans and everything, it's not all orange is the new black, bitch.
It
sure is not, because if depending on where you go, if you happen to become incarcerated and you're a trans woman, they put you in with the male populace,
right?
Or if you are a trans man, they put you in with the female populace, which I think is probably way less dangerous potentially in that environment than being a trans woman who goes into a male populace. But in some places it becomes even more complicated because they will put you sort of in isolation because they don't know where to put you, and then here you are incarcerated with nobody. So but at any rate, I was talking to him a little bit and I said, would you mind passing our information along to your friend, because they're filming a documentary about her. That's what he was going to go see, this filming of this documentary.
Fabulous. Did he give you her name?
He did not give me her name, but I said, this sounds like something that we would really be interested in talking more about, the concept of trans rights as it relates to the legal system, the penal system, because that's something that invariably happens, there's a lot...
Yeah.
Trans people are no more or less... Actually, they might be statistically slightly more... at risk of being put into just because of the fact that we know that some of the options that are available are not the healthiest always. But it was something I thought would be very interesting for our listeners to listen, kind of get information on for us to talk about, a dialogue for us to have. So, Sean, if you are listening, by all means, please put us in touch with your friend or colleague. And it sounds like something that we would love to bring to our listeners.
Right. That'd be fabulous.
I think it would be very educational. That's one of the things that I have loved about our show, is that it brings up interesting conversations that I don't think that some of us might ever have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly conversations that some of our listeners, around the world might not have even thought of.
Right. I'm actually, speaking of trans services and stuff like that, I've applied for just another position, not because I hate my job, it's just because... I'm looking to get to maybe stay in the field, but work with people that I can relate to in the aspect of them being trans or LGBTQ. So I actually have, I've gone through a phone interview. Tomorrow I have a in-person interview for a trans employment specialist position.
Cool, that's great.
At the LGBT Center. For those of you that know, I already work for Mental Health Clients Rights doing advocacy. So I think this position would entail me to, would allow me to help trans people find work, who can't find work.
I think that's fantastic. I remember a long time, once again, you guys, we all know my history. Like, a long time ago, I lived, I was in rehab, and I had moved through the rehab process into a halfway house situation mm-hmm. with a trans woman who had kind of had a long history of, you know, dealing with addiction and whatever. But I was so inspired by her because she worked in a very similar capacity uh-huh. because her goal was to, she had done sex work and all of these things, and then now that she had become clean and sober from drugs and alcohol, she wanted to help other women who had been in a similar situation kind of find legal employment and
right.
and feel empowered to do that, because mm-hmm. thankfully, I do believe that in San Francisco, the opportunities for employment in a legal sense are probably dramatically increased over other places right. for trans women. But I think that sometimes, and this isn't just about, obviously I don't have the perspective on being trans, but I think that sometimes our thoughts about ourselves limit our options. You right. know, the way you think about and perceive yourself and think other people will think about and perceive you can limit your options. So,
yeah, that whether that really be the case or not, yeah.
Right, absolutely. I've heard it described as like a prison of your own making. It's because it's in your right. head, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the prison's in your head, and you're thinking, well, this is all I deserve, or this is all I'll get, so... And that's phenomenal that they have something of that nature at the LGBT center.
Yeah. So, my only worry is, I mean, there's another position I've applied for also that deals with LGBT people and me helping them out. But with this position specifically, like, I would need more money than what they offered on the job ad.
Right, what was listed.
And I also have to, like, make sure that, like, my medical benefits and all and insurance is still going to be covered, and hopefully I won't have to change doctors and stuff like that, just because that can be a really big hassle, and it just sucks that I have to go through this, but we'll see. I mean, I don't even know if I have the position yet. I may be jumping the gun, but it's just...
Well, it's definitely...
to worry about.
Yeah, those are all things that one has to consider when yeah. looking at any kind of employment. It's interesting that you mentioned some of these elements, like about your medical coverage and things of that nature. I was in the Castro last week, and these people came, and they were doing kind of like surveys about kind of urgent care facilities and uh-huh. things like that. And they called me in to be part of this focus group today. And I was actually en route to the focus group, which is when I bumped into Sean Haynes. But during the course of this focus group, they were asking me some things about like what my thoughts were around different urgent care and versus hospitals or primary care physicians. And I said that one of the deciding factors that if I were to choose an urgent care, they said, what would make you choose one urgent care over another? And I specifically said specialization and understanding of my personal needs, like intuitive perception and understanding of my personal needs as a gay man. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of things as a trans woman, like you definitely want mm-hmm. people who are familiar with that. I can't imagine what it would be like to have to go to a doctor's office where people are not familiar with right. all that goes into that.
Right, girl... Speaking of which, I have a new, like, primary care, just regular doctor that I haven't met yet. And I got a letter in the mail from Kaiser saying that I'm coming of that age where it's time for me to go in and get a pap smear. Girl.
Good for you. Taking care of your women's issues.
I was gagged. I haven't caught them yet to tell them they were barking up the wrong tree. But.
oh my God. Well, good for you. I hope they check you for ovarian cancer as
right.
well.
Right. You know, I've got to get my the walls checked out.
Yes, honey. Check those walls. Oh, my God. Oh, well, let us take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more Gab on this episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, friends. It's me, Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. And I'm the host of the Joy Bomb podcast. Now, I know you wouldn't be listening to Party Foul unless you were under the influence of Poyo and Pearl's black magic. So I'm going to ask everyone, please place your hands on your phones and repeat after me. I bind you, Poyo and Pearl, from doing harm. Harm against other people and harm against yourselves. Recalling all the corners. Recalling the elements forth. Release these people from these chains. Amen. Women. I have no idea.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And we took a quick break, and I was telling Pearl during the break that I am very, very excited because I will be teaching an upcoming class on drag at Google headquarters in Mountain View.
All right, Google in Mountain View.
Yes, so it's very exciting. I was contacted by a woman named Marissa.
Wait, so do you get to get on one of those Google buses?
I don't know. I'm like, I would love to because that would make transportation so easy to come back to the city.
Right.
I'll probably have to take a train down, but then I hope I can either catch a ride with Google Bus. I want to see what the inside of those Google buses is like.
Right. Which,
yes, I want to see what's clogging our city streets.
I want the scoop.
But it's going to be really exciting. I just got the information today about some planned dates that I haven't confirmed with them 100% yet, but it's going to be a 6-week class on drag, and it's going to be offered to employees of Google because the Google Gagglers, that's what they're called, the Google Gagglers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the Google Gagglers are a large group of LGBTQ people within Google.
But they're called the Gagglers?
The Gagglers.
But they're supposed to represent all of LGBTQ?
Well, they're called the Google Gagglers. Well, I mean, what... It's hard to say the LGBTQ-glers.
Right.
So, it's just the gagglers.
Okay.
There was a time, Pearl, when gay was an all-encompassing term, similar to what
there
queer is.
There was a time.
Right, but
we are like, no longer in those times.
Anyway, the gagglers are an LGBTQIA group of Google employees, and they are... I think it's so cool, though, that Google is actually offering a class like this leading towards Pride season.
Uh-huh.
And the fun part about this is that I'll be going in, and they're actually having a person to come in and teach drag king classes also.
That's a big thing.
So it's, like, it's open to men and women and people who are... even one person contacted them and said, I'm non-binary. Can I come to the uh-huh. group too, and so they asked me about this, and you know, like, what are your thoughts on all this, and what should I say to these people? And I said, well, my experience is that whether you're somewhere on the male or female spectrum, whether you're trans or not trans, like whether you are binary or non-binary,
right,
or whatever, whatever your gender identity is,
has nothing to do with drag.
Drag is what you do; it's not who you are.
Right, exactly.
And I told them, I said, you know, what I would say to people in this situation is, drag doesn't even have to be about
gender
at all. It doesn't have to be like you become male or you become female. You could
still be very androgynous. You could be something right in the middle if you wanted.
Well, girl...
You could be something that's not even human, girl.
I told them that. I said, you can be an avatar.
Right.
Like, you can be a cat.
Right.
Like, you can be anything you want. Drag is about, like, making yourself fabulous in however you want that to be, you know? And so...
Girl, this is what you need to do. What you need to do is... Okay, so you have them sold for this, for Pride. You need to tell them, you know, a lot of people will be down for Halloween, too. So
yes, girl.
Give me some more hours.
Boom, yes. Good idea, Pearl. So, yeah, I told them about this. And it's really exciting to me because... Have you ever been to the Google campus?
That's not Stanford. I've been as... No.
No, they literally call... The Google
has a campus.
They call it the campus. It's like Google headquarters, and the reason they call it a campus.
Oh, because I've seen video of it.
Bitch,
yeah.
For real. They call it a campus because it is very collegiate in feel. Yeah. Like, so you go down there, and they have this huge property in Mountain View, California, And when you go on, you kind of enter the Google campus, and then there are all of these different buildings, of course, where different aspects and elements of Google are located. And then they have in the center of the campus, they have like their cafeteria. All of the food is provided for them.
Right.
Like they have like multiple restaurants that the campus that are on campus. You can go to any of them.
Well, that's where I need to apply.
Bitch, for real. They have all of these different elements of the campus. And then in the middle of it, when I was down there, they had a fucking sand volleyball court. They had a sand volleyball court. They have tennis courts. They have a jogging path.
Oh, I don't need all that, girl. Just give me a job that pays and some free food. A ride home. I'm good.
It was fierce. And they have an on-campus pride every year as well. So okay. It was really, really badass. And so there are doing this. It's going to be a 6-week drag course. We're going to go.
If they have their own on-campus pride, whatever, you better get up in that show. Be like, you guys need a headliner.
Oh my god! Well, it's. I mean, it's a small. I mean, there were hundreds of people.
That's fine,
girl. How about there?
I'll perform for a hundred of people.
The Google Pride was actually bigger than when I went to there's a nearby city called San Mateo, California. And there, I went to their pride.
You did not have to say there's a city called San Mateo, California. That's hilarious.
Well, girl, there's a place nearby San Francisco called, just south of us, San Mateo, California. And they have a pride. They started their pride like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I was the headliner at the very first San Mateo pride. And Google's pride was bigger than San Mateo's pride. So,
I believe it.
But the great part about it was like the LGBT people at Google put the pride on, and then the whole campus sort of like
came
over and checked it out, and they had food. It was, girl, it was delish. I was delighted.
What were you doing there?
I was at San Mateo. I was at the Google Pride promoting the Silicon Valley Pride. Because,
wow. Yeah, so, see, those sound like the same thing to me.
Well,
but yeah,
Google Pride is specific to Google, but Silicon Valley Pride is the name that has been given to the former San Jose Pride.
Right.
San Jose Pride became Silicon Valley Pride. It's, you guys,
a mess.
I don't want to say it's a mess, but I do think that it's kind of great that in the Bay Area, the greater Bay Area, that Pride is so embraced here that every small city wants one of their own or has one of their own, which I think is actually, at first, it seems a little gratuitous, right? You're like, girl, does Burlingame need a pride?
Burlingame.
Whatever.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I'm just, like, making shit up about that. But the fact of the matter is, a number of years ago, this was when I was reminded what pride is really about. Because living in San Francisco, pride here is a huge to-do. And it kind of, like, congests the city. It shuts the whole central area of downtown San Francisco down. There's like a million people here. But sometimes I felt really jaded about our pride because people come in and they like sort of basically it's just like a drunken festivity in the street where people sort of trash the town and then go back to wherever they come from. And there was a while where I was like, oh, this is so not necessary. But I remember in 2010. I went and did San Francisco Pride, and I had a boyfriend who was touring with...
Girl, this had to be at least 30 years ago.
Girl, it was 7 years ago, bitch, so it's a long time. Might as well have been 30 years ago for me to have a boyfriend. But I went and did San Francisco Pride, and he was stationed in L.A. They were doing a touring stage production of Lin-Manuel Miranda's first big Tony Award-winning musical called In the Heights. And they were on this 5-week stop in Los Angeles. So I did Pride here, washed all the drag off, jumped in the car to head down to Los Angeles to see him. And it was like, I don't know. Oh, I got a neighbor, somebody coming to visit.
Bring him Popeyes.
What's going on here? Oh, honey, I don't know. Maybe they... So somebody popped up outside the house, girl. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, so I got outside the city and... I stopped in the middle of nowhere, and you guys, the area between Pearl's trying to see what's going on.
Oh, she was throwing out trash.
That, damn it, my neighbor was throwing out trash, and we thought we were getting food.
Popeyes, girl. I was like, oh, girl, yes, bring it. Hormones, I'm hungry.
So, I between San Francisco and Los Angeles, the area, if you're driving along the highway, is pretty desolate. And I remember it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I stopped at this gas station in the middle of nowhere, and I went in to get a drink. And when I got inside the store, I noticed that people were staring at me, right? Mm-hmm. And then I saw my reflection in one of the icy containers where I was getting my soda from, and I saw that I still had glitter, like, smudged all over my face and a little bit of eyeliner and whatever, like we're prone to do. And then all of a sudden, I felt really, really unsafe because I'm, like, here in the middle of nowhere, right, by myself on this trip, obviously gay. And it was in that moment when I felt that fear and, like, the lack of safety that I'm reminded that there are people who live in those environments all the time.
Girl, that is me every day.
Right. I mean, I can imagine that there are significant numbers of people who feel that every day. Like, no matter where you go, you feel like that under... Oh, my God, we got a call coming in on Pearl's phone, nonetheless. What is going on here? Hold on. Hello?
Hey, Kikyo.
You guys, it's Kikyo, the fallen flower, my arch nemesis, calling in. Pearl has double-crossed me.
I did no such thing. Well, maybe a little bit. What's going on, Kikyo?
I'm in Oakland at Stoner U, about to get some training and kick your ass.
Oh, I see how it is. You're calling into my podcast with threats, you bitch. we're gonna have to put our differences aside long enough for this interview, I guess, since I've been double crossed into speaking to my arch nemesis, Kikyo the Fallen Flower. So, how did it feel getting thrown to the ground and rolling around with a drag queen, Kikyo?
I mean, you were a lot heavier than I was expecting, that's for sure.
Girl, I could have told you she's that's a heavy piece of me, girl.
It was definitely interesting, that's for sure. I need you to get your ass in a ring and start training, because I refuse to get into another ring with you until you know what you're doing. So that way, I can kick your ass properly.
Oh, I see how it is. Well, I would be happy to train. You said that you're at Stoner U. I know that that's the Stoner Brothers, which are indie wrestlers here in the Bay Area. They're with Hood Slam, right?
Yes, it is the training center of the one and only Hood Slam in Oakland, California, run by the Stoner Brothers of Hood Slam fame, Scotty Rick and Ricky Scott.
Well, the great thing is, like, I know for Wrestling for Charity, I am their only drag queen that they have on board. But I saw recently Hood Slam did an entire show where everybody was in drag. They invited the audience to come in drag, and it was like a big hit.
Yep, it's their big show, one of their bigger shows of the year called Send Out, and everyone is, most of the boys are all in drag because they now know how it feels to be a female in the wrestling business and having to worry about your hair and, oh man, I don't have pockets. Where am I going to put this? Oh my God, do my boobs look okay? Does my ass look okay? Hey, I have to go to the bathroom. Shit, I have 18 layers on. How the hell am I going to do this?
Right.
That's my life every single weekend.
Right.
So, how long have you been professional wrestling?
I started training in 2009. And then I actually took about a year and a half off for personal reasons, and I came back in February of 2012. So it's been 5 years steady, but I've been training for about 8 years.
Now, what is it that inspired you to get into it in the first place?
I was born into watching it. My parents watched it, my grandparents watched it, so I grew up watching The Ultimate Warrior and The Macho Man and Razor Ramon and, you know, jumping off couches, thinking of Jimmy Superfly Snuka at 2, slapping my brother in the face when I'm like 5. You know, one of those things that just, I just love it. And I wasn't the little girl wanting to be a princess or a doctor. I wanted to be a wrestler.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I understand too. I was a little girl who wanted to be a wrestler as well.
You know, I actually did too, but I grew out of that.
Well.
And then I wanted to be a queen.
Yeah, okay, well that's fine. So,
without being a queen, I'm also known as the beauty queen killer at Castle versus Pro Wrestling.
Oh, well, I mean, girl, the way you was rolling around, you had a you had that proven.
That now was our interaction, was our brawl down at the Santa Clara Sports and Expo Convention Center one of the wilder things that you've done in pro wrestling?
Absolutely not. I would like to say it is, but absolutely not. I have put my body through barbed wire boards. I have put my body through light tubes, thumbtacks, tables, ladders, chairs, endo sticks. Yeah, absolutely not the craziest thing that I've done. Electric pumpkin carver has been used on my face.
A what?
Like little ones you get that you carve your pumpkins with, little electric ones.
Oh my god.
Oh, hell no.
Have you ever thought about getting into stunt work?
About what?
Have you ever thought about getting into stunt work, being a stunt double?
No. Hell no.
No?
Because I'm the badass that does her own stunts.
Oh.
And then comes out and looks like a badass because I just did it and looks at me standing.
Right, that makes sense. I wouldn't want to, like, do the work and give somebody else the credit, either.
Especially the size that I am. Like, in pro wrestling, the girls who are tall and thin and blonde and have the big boobs and the big butt, but they're all of 125 pounds, are the ones who get everything. I'm 5'2", currently sitting at 210 pounds. But I move like I'm 135.
All right.
And you don't expect me to bust out a standing moonsault. You don't expect me to bust out a moonsault off the top rope or move around as quick in the ring as I do.
Yeah, I think that definitely, you know, one of the interesting things that people talk about a lot right now in women's wrestling is kind of they call it the women's revolution in WWE, where women are getting to be more athletic and being required to be, you know, it's not based entirely on looks, but still, you see that when they have somebody like Nia Jax, who is absolutely gorgeous, she's a former plus-size model, and she comes in, you know, because she's not 130 pounds, they're like, what a beast, she's a mammoth, look at her, she's, you know, it's so, like, what about her emphasis on her actual athletic abilities, you know what I mean?
I would have more opinion on it if they were actually better. She's not better. But I don't feel that she's as good as she could be.
Right, but I mean,
and
I do...
She's still learning.
I mean, she's definitely still learning, but I think that it is improving, and I think that the idea that women's pro wrestling has been given a greater emphasis in terms of skill set than, I mean, even 5 years ago when the women basically were competing in bra and panty matches and shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just embarrassing.
You know what? I was actually watching Unforgiven from 1998, and there is an evening gown match between Sable and
Deborah?
Luna Vachon.
Who is it? Oh, Luna Vachon?
Yes.
Lord.
And the way that they did it, like, if you watched from the promo package that Luna cut, she, even though it's such a sexualized match, like, I'm going to rip your gown off, like, you know, I'm going to strip you down your bra and panties, like, that's the name of the game, and I'm going to win. But the sexuality behind it has been so just disgustingly put out there by a lot of the other females who have done it. It was really awesome to see Luna go out in her giant, like, 5-inch goth chunk boots, a long, beautiful, like, Vampirian gown with her big old beautiful blonde braided hair ponytail and the tattoos on her face. And she just came out and she whooped Sable's ass. There was nothing sexual about it whatsoever. And she even got stripped down to her bare naked self. And Goldust had to wrap his cloak around her to bring her back to the back. And it still had no sexuality about it until afterwards when Sable got in the ring to gloat.
Yeah, well, Luna Vachon was always a rare breed in professional wrestling because they always put her in matches against these basically like blonde bimbos, and here she was like, you know, a badass and very, you know, she came from a long lineage of incredible performers, so she was very well-versed, very well-trained, completely. Pearl, my co-host, is looking her up. Like, this is, like,
like, I really hope that Gangrel is at the next Wrestling for Charity event that you're at, because he has the most amazing stories about Luna that would bring tears to your eyes, because they were married and they were together for a really long time, and he was her absolute best friend.
Yeah, I actually watch Gangrel. I watch lots of indie professional wrestling on the internet, and I watch an organization called the WCWC out of Seattle, I believe, and Gangrel is like their big name up there.
I think WCWC is actually in Oregon.
Oh, Portland.
Portland.
Yes, that's correct. But, ooh, I'm... Ethan HD, honey, I love you. I love you, boo. I love you. You said that we can definitely talk about your sexuality, and you are... Like, you told us, or told me, that you are bisexual. And
yes.
How have you ever found that that plays into or affects the atmosphere in the pro wrestling environment?
It actually kind of started when I wrestled in high school. A lot of the guys would, like, assume that because I was a woman, I knew how to, like, re another chick. And I was sitting here, I'm like, bro, I'm in the same boat. I ain't got no fucking clue what I'm doing. I'm like, there is as much a mystery to me as they are to you. Just because I am one doesn't mean I know what's going on in their crazy ass little heads. No clue. So, like, when I'm in the back and, like, there's, you know, we do have people from the LGBT community coming through, and, like, my roommate, who is Brittany Wonder, you know, she comes out to the crowd, kisses her fans. Like, we've kissed before, and we haven't made out, but it's like, you know, she comes out, like, it's all love. And, I don't know, people, they don't really notice for the most part unless we do something out of the norm of being a woman, I guess. So,
yeah,
it was a really big experience was in high school, and guys were like, help me out.
Yeah, I think that women's sexuality a lot can fly under the radar a little more in a public environment than male sexuality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think, honey, my family lives in Florida, and there are times when I go home and I literally, every single woman I see, I'm like, if she's not a lesbian, she should be, but they're not. They just read that way. You know what I mean? Versus like gay men, like I sort of stick out a little bit. Like, wherever I go. And, you know, it was really interesting. I don't know if you, what you observed, you know, when we were down at Santa Clara, but here I am in full drag walking around this hyper-masculine, like, not just hyper-masculinized, like, pro wrestling, but we were surrounded by UFC and boxing and fitness athletes and bodybuilding competitions, and I got some really, really unusual looks down there.
You also got some really unusual happenings in the back.
that is true. I don't know how far into that we should go, but let's just say, listeners, there was one of the people backstage with us was a little overly attentive to me from the moment I walked in. And normally, I mean, he's gorgeous, like really, really gorgeous. But normally I might have been a little more inclined to be flirty, but I was like, it was so unexpected for me when we were back there. I was like, I'm here. And I was expecting, I've like placed on myself this pressure to, as weird as it sounds, not stick out. You know what I mean? Because despite the fact that I'm there in full drag, I wanted to sort of just blend in like one of the guys or one of the girls.
I'm just a really big ass bitch. What's up? How you doing? I had one of the boys ask me if your test was real.
Really?
What?
Yes. Well,
my makeup is...
They asked if you had implants. Yeah. They asked if you had implants.
Oh my God.
Well, my makeup on my chest makeup is pretty good.
Sure.
So. Yeah, you have
So, well, I mean, you know, the one thing that I was really appreciative of, and you are in greater contact with these boys than I am, but I was very appreciative of and very surprised at how, like, once I walked in, once, like, the sort of, like, shock value of what happened, you know, of what I was and where I was wore off, it was just literally business as usual.
Uh-huh.
It just was like, okay, another performer. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here in drag, which is not much different than the guy who's like three people down who's there dressed as a crab, to be honest.
Right, right.
So, the Rock Lobster.
And then, you know, Jekyll's dressed as a freaking clown.
Right. So, you know, it was really kind of cool. I will say, now this is something I've never even talked to you about, but I think I mentioned it a long time ago. When you and I first met at the first show I did for Wrestling for Charity, I came in, and of course, I knew nobody then. I didn't even know you. You know, I walked in cold. I didn't know a single person. I'd never met any of these individuals in person. And at first, some people were the gigolo. What's the gigolo's name? The one who was right next to me.
Him.
So he was really sweet from the beginning. Like, he was really nice. He gave me a flower, a rose, was like, here, beautiful, whatever. And then when we get called into a meeting backstage to, like, say, okay, you guys, this is what's going on. It's like, we're getting ready to start. And at one point, the room was so crowded, and I was sort of standing. I didn't want to be intrusive, so I stood just outside the door right behind the line of the local wrestlers or whatever. And I heard some guy go, where's that dude that looks like a chick? You can have him or whatever.
Oh my God.
I said, actually, I'm right here. Like, I can hear you. I'm standing right behind the person next to you, and you just can't see me. It was so inappropriate. But
wow, where the hell was I? I think I was out busy, like, figuring out our stuff.
Well, what had precipitated that is that one of the guys, that particular individual, was saying something, like, to one of the female wrestlers. It was kind of like, I mean, if it had been an environment where they weren't close friends or personally knew each other, would have probably been, like, considered sexual harassment. But obviously she was, you know, it was not pussy grabbing locker room talk like a Trump thing, but it was just...
Well, I know her boyfriend is one of the guys that was in the locker room, and then, like, a lot of her friends, they joke around a lot like that with her, so...
Right, of course. And, you know, that's totally acceptable. It's one of those things where if it's accepted, it's accepted. But if it's not accepted, it's not okay. But they had said something about that, and she said something to the effect of, like, sorry, you know, like, I got a man or whatever. And that's when the guy goes, oh, you can have that dude that looks like a chick that's here or whatever. And I was like... Part of me was, like, deeply offended, and the other part of me was like, well, he did say I look like a chick, so I'm okay with it.
Wow.
But it was just...
Yeah, like, what am I saying? What the hell? I'm gonna... Damn it.
So, you know... It was just a little off-putting for me because I was there uncomfortable in my own right just because I was brand new in the environment. But, you know, I have to say, like, the guys and girls, like, guys and gals down... This past weekend were so embracing. When it was a really fun environment. And I think that part of that is because people believe in the idea of what Wrestling for Charity is about, like the idea of doing something that people are passionate about and the proceeds going to charity. So how did you get involved with Wrestling for Charity?
It was right after I was served a cease and desist for my previous character that I was doing, and they had originally booked me for a one-on-one match with Tammy Foray. And I had, sorry, give me one second. Okay, no problem. I'm going to end up starting practice soon, so I'll end up wrapping this up with this story. I had a cease and desist order served to me for my prior character by my trainer, and they had finally seen me, I think, from doing AWS in Los Angeles. And so I had let them know, I'm like, hey, look, this is the situation, and I need you to change this name. I need this to happen. And ever since then, Butch has really, like, latched on to me. Like, he's almost become, like, that cool older cousin kind of thing. And he's, like, he's always looked out for me wrestling-wise, and anything that I've ever wanted, he's been able to give to me. Like, he gave me that one-on-one match with Candace. He's given me those one-on-one matches with Tara, with Tab Jackson, and almost anybody that I really want to work. I got to work Amazonas in San Mexico. You know, that was the first actual luchadora that I got to work. And it was really freaking awesome, and I got to work her down in Mexico. So that really helped, because I knew people and was able to get there. And so Butch has really, really been one of the staple people behind me in my career.
Wow, that is great. And Butch is, like, super supportive of me, too, and so open to ideas, and I really, really appreciate that. Anyway, girl, you better get back to training, bitch, because I'm going to kick your ass in our grudge match.
Yeah, we're just about to start right now, so I'm getting ready.
You better go.
I cannot wait to see
this. And then even when I move to Florida, because you said you have family in Florida, I will be in Riverview, which is 20 minutes from Tampa, so.
Oh.
Ask me outside. How about that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, damn. All right. Bye, bitch.
All right. See you soon.
Bye. She said, cash me outside. How about that?
A mess. Well, that's exciting.
Oh, my God.
This could be the new start of a whole new career for you.
Too bad I started when I'm 75 years old.
Right, I know, you know.
Well, girl, look
better
at May.
Better than ever.
Look at May Young. May Young. May Young and look at Fabulous Moolah, bitch.
That's her name.
Fabulous Moolah and May Young were wrestling until they were like 80-some years old, girl.
Had a full storyline, a romance, and had a baby.
Oh, my. The baby was a hand, y'all.
A hand.
It was a sex toy. How nasty. It's so funny because last night I was watching Raw, WWE Raw,
uh-huh.
And they are doing, because it's Women's History Month,
uh-huh.
And they're doing influential women. They've done, like, Billie Jean King, come through lesbian tennis players.
All right.
They did, I think they did, Aretha Franklin is another one that they did. And last night their influential woman was Mae Young.
Wow.
And so they showed, like, you know, all of these things. And Mae Young is a professional wrestler. She started wrestling legitimately in, like, World War II, girls.
That's everything.
Bitch, she started wrestling in, like, World War II. And she did not make it to the WWE until she was, like, 70 years old.
Which just goes to show, never, ever give up on your dreams.
That's the truth, girl, because, you know, I was joking during that interview when I said that, you know, when other little girls were dreaming of being princesses, I wanted to grow up. And I'm actually, you guys, in the process of writing a first-person story about my lifelong love for pro wrestling for the Huffington Post. I sent them what we call a spec, you know, like, which mm-hmm. where I say, hey, I want to write this. Would you run it? And Noah Michelson at Huffington Post said, like, this sounds actually phenomenal. I would love to run this. So it'll be my first-person piece, like, normal. What I mean by that, you guys, it's like, I want this, I do this, da-da-da, versus just interviewing one of our celebrities and putting it up, which, by the way, if you haven't seen them, go now to the Huffington Post Queer Voices, because we've got two of our pieces of our interview with, from last week's episode at 57, with Dustin Lance Black on the Huffington Post Queer Voices right now, and thank you, Dustin Lance Black, for putting up a link to one of those articles on your Facebook page.
Right, that's everything.
Yes, girl, come through for Party Foul Radio, getting that kind of recognition from an Oscar winner, bitch.
I live, girl.
All right, you guys, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we are going to have with us the original Drag is a Full Contact Sport queen herself,
right.
Miss Mimi M. First. She'll be up right after this.
Hallelujah, this is Shangela, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Polio and Pearl, honey. Hallelujah.
Clock the bag.
Clock the bag.
Clock the shoe.
Clock the shoe.
Now punch the clock. It's time to work.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And we are excited. We've been talking a lot about professional wrestling this episode and recent episodes. And we talked about our next guest last week, too, because I owe her a huge thank you for bringing me into the Diva Royale show here in San Francisco. You might remember her from season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race or some of her amazing one-woman shows, her music videos. She is an all-around entertainer and a very longtime friend of mine. Please welcome Ms. Mimi M. First. Hi, Mimi.
Hey, Mimi.
Hi.
So, are you in New York or are you in L.A. right now?
Oh, girl, I'm actually in Wilson Manors, Florida.
Oh. Well, I guess that was my third. Wilson Manors, Florida was my third guest, but. So.
Of course.
Oh, wait a minute. I saw that you were going to be down at, like, maybe in Tampa or somewhere like that.
I was in Tampa recently, but I temporarily relocated down to Wilson for some work. And, I'm going back to work between here in Philadelphia.
Tell us what you're doing in Wilson Manor, Florida.
I'm working during the day for Alan Shepard's
Okay, hold on, hold on. You're cutting in and out, girl.
I'm sorry.
So you said you're working during the day for Alan Chuck Travel?
Yeah, I'm working for during the day for Alan Chuck Travel. Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did you get hooked up? Now, Alan Chuck, for the listeners, are the ones who do all of, like, the drag race at sea cruises and things of that nature. So,
yes.
So how did you get hooked up with Alan Chuck?
Well, I first started working for them as talent on the very first Drag Stars at Sea cruise, which was, eight or so cruises ago. And then about 3 years ago, they asked me to come on board as their entertainment director and running the entertainment for the cruises. I started on the very first European cruise. That was the first one that I did. So I have been doing that for a couple of years and working in conjunction with my friend Eddie, who was basically the brand manager for Alan Chuck. And Eddie was unfortunately one of the victims at Pulse nightclub.
Yeah.
And he and I were very close, and we're very good friends, and always traveled together on all of these cruises, and we worked very closely together. And so about 5 or 6 weeks after Pulse, they asked me if I would take over his job, which sort of made sense in a lot of ways. So it was a rather unfortunate circumstance that I came to kind of work for them in a bit more of a full-time capacity. So that was six months ago. I can't believe it. So it's been a little crazy.
Yeah, it's funny, when I asked you initially about that, I had, girl, are you doing calisthenics? Because you are breathing heavily. You're like, woo! Okay, so, sorry, Queen.
I'm sorry, I lost there. I don't know what you said. I'm sure it was very funny, but I couldn't see the phone broke up.
Anyway, it's horrible actually that I'm laughing, because I was gonna say that I remembered, you know, at the time of the Pulse nightclub shootings, of course, Alan Chuck issued a statement about Eddie, and I remembered how devastated you were on your Facebook, you know, like, kind of outreach, and I at the time was unclear on how close you guys were, but it sounds like obviously you were extremely close, having worked with him on all those cruises, and yeah.
Eddie was really well known by a lot of people all over, and that came through him traveling with the cruises and being involved with Drag Stars at Sea, and, he worked closely with a lot of the talent, but, Eddie and I really kind of did them hand-in-hand along with another guy who works for the agency, so his name is Daniel. So Eddie and Daniel and myself and of course Al were the four Musketeers, and we always traveled together, and the four of us did the cruise. In fact, Al didn't even go on most of them. It was really just Daniel and Eddie and I at times. Eddie and I always roomed together, and so we kind of we were very much very close and family in a lot of ways, and it was. Pulse is probably one of the hardest things I've gone through as far as losing somebody in my entire life. Just horrible, and I really would not wish that upon a single person. It was just in those situations where you have an incredible personal loss, and then it is just magnified by the fact that it touched everyone in the community around you at the same time. So the community was grieving as a whole because it touched so many people in so many different ways, and that really magnified what I was feeling personally. So it was just exponentially very difficult time.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the time of, I revisited it in some capacity recently. I was watching an episode of Vanderpump Rules, of all things, and you know, it was happening. They were filming the day of the Pulse nightclub shootings, and were, you know, as the information was coming out, and I just was watching, recalling how even people as far away as here on the West Coast who did not have any personal involvement or did not have any friends who had been directly affected felt the impact of it just because of the concept that it was so horrific, the idea that some place that many of us consider sacred, like a nightclub, you know, that is our church, so to speak, and it brings people right. together, and it's mm-hmm. our gathering place, you know, for something like that to happen, and then for the loss to be so far-reaching in terms right. of numbers of people impacted and taken from us is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was such a weird experience for me because, you know, I'm a night owl, and, you know, at the time I didn't have anything that I was doing during the day. I was solely just doing my own, you know, freelance and nightlife work. So it would be very common for me on a Saturday night to be awake and up and about when the whole thing went down. And, of course, you know, people knew immediately that Eddie was there. And, you know, he had Snapchatted everybody from the club. And, you know, if it happened, I would have been in mass panic. When it happened, had I been awake, I would have been in mass panic. I went to sleep at night. I'd, like, uncharacteristically at, like, 9 o'clock at night. I was just really tired. And I just remember saying, I'm just going to go to bed early tonight and take care of myself and sleep in the next day. And I unplugged everything. I didn't want to be woken up. And, of course, you know, when I did wake up, you know, you can only imagine the number of phone calls and text messages, you know, from everyone from friends to cruisers who traveled on the Drag Circuit cruises to other drag race girls, you know, who knew that he never closed and asked me, you know, what I knew. And, you know, it was not long before I found out what had happened.
God, that is like, I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to wake up from, like, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, what a great night's sleep, and, you know, thank God I finally caught up or whatever, and then to turn on your phone and just
explode.
Yeah, and not only did your phone explode, but, like, then everything starts to crumble around you as you're, like, figuring what's, oh, I'm so sorry. That's like, the idea is horrific.
Yeah, I certainly don't wish it upon anyone. Time is on all of our sides. You know, in this case, so I feel lucky that I have done a lot of healing and you know, trying to move on as best as you can. You know, one never truly does completely. It was a life-changing event for me in many ways.
Was there a level of, like, trauma, like, to step into his position with Alan Chuck?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, they didn't touch his cubicle where he worked. For weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, when I took over, no one had even looked at his voicemail. There were a lot of, you know, email addresses, you know, he managed for the brand, you know, your infos or, you know, customer service at alanchuck.com, whatever the email is. That shortly after when I took over, I started getting, but they were, you know, addressed to Eddie. You know, I would get, people asking, you know, I had to go through his stuff. I had to, you know, he had notes that had been untouched on his desk, like literally just frozen in time. He went, you know, he left work on a Friday, expecting you to come back on a Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so dealing with all that was really tough and just trying to, you know, he was very passionate about for LGBT people just for the sheer experience of being in a place that may not be as accepting or as experienced as having gay people around. You know, you go to countries where, you know, gay rights are moving and changing and constantly developing and are not even anywhere near where we are in the U.S. And so when you send LGBT guests to this place and you meet somebody who's from somewhere that may not be as accepting, you're changing people's lives, you know, in kind of a very, I think, quiet, but in some ways far more effective way. You know, people's opinions on LGBT people change the most when they meet someone.
Absolutely.
They know and then can connect to face and associate to a larger issue. So he's really passionate about that. And, you know, so wanting to pick up those pieces and wanting to carry that on, it was and is still a burden is not the right word, but is still, you know, a legacy that I want to continue on with.
What was it like for you to kind of transition from being pretty much a full-time nightlife entertainer to returning to kind of an office environment?
It was one of those weird things that oddly enough, it was something I needed at the time. I've been being dragged since I was 17, maybe even a little before that. And I, just most recently, I would say in February, I set aside like 5 weeks where I just said, I'm not going to take any gigs. And I turned everything down and got substitutes for all of my regular gigs. And I needed to recharge my batteries. I needed to pull away for a second to think about what's important for me in terms of my drag, you know, creative, artistic message or what I want to do. Sometimes when you get into the actual game of, oh my God, I need gigs to survive, you kind of lose your creative zone, if you will.
Absolutely.
You know, I know a lot of the girls who are touring constantly talk about how, well, now I don't have any time to actually create. You know, you have to set aside that time.
Right. Yeah, I think that first and foremost, there's two things at play there when I hear you say that. Like, one of them is that when you're on the grind and you need the money and the gig and the job to survive, it's like, I don't care what it's doing. If it's paying me and it's paying decently, I'm doing it.
Right.
And so you find yourself doing things sometimes that you're not even that interested in doing, but you're like, well, it's a paycheck. And then the flip side of that is that when you are really, really in the grind touring, it's like, okay, I need to pack 6 outfits. I mean, I'll say this for myself. Since you hooked me up with the Divas Royale thing, I've worn the same outfit like 3 weeks in a row, and I'm over the outfit. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I'm just like, okay, there's no opportunity really for me to come up with something new because I'm doing what's tried and true right now, and we'll just stick with it.
And don't have time to do anything else.
Yeah. So it can be a very different life than when you get to pick and choose what you want to do a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to be able to have the opportunity to take the gigs I wanted to take as opposed to taking the gigs I had to take.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a game changer in terms of that.
Okay, you're getting a little muffled.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I just want to, I'm hanging on your every word, so I want to make sure that the listeners can too. So
this is the problem with mobile devices.
So, you know, when you talk about recharging your batteries and kind of getting back to the creative process, you are an entertainer. I said this on our last episode, actually. You're an entertainer who I perceive as constantly challenging yourself to do something new and creative, whether it's like one-woman shows or impersonations or music videos or something. You always seem to have something creative going on while continually doing these regular gigs that you do on an ongoing basis? Like, how did you find time? And is it just because you didn't sleep, or what the hell was going on there?
No, I don't know. I think that the key to my success has been that I treat my business like a business.
Right.
You know, is that I know I need to get up and I need to get stuff done. I know that I need to support what I'm doing with advertising. I know that I need to creatively think outside the box. I know that I need to think of ways to make money associated with my brand without having to actually do a gig. I know that I need to, stay on top of your game. And you know, I've kind of watched the whole drag race circuit, the whole drag race game very closely. And, you know, I see just a lot of the girls, freaking out or wondering what they're going to do next. And, you know, I see their 15 minutes getting shorter and shorter, and there's more and more girls. And so you have to constantly be doing things involving, social media or videos or music online or whatever it is to get the audience's attention again. So there's a lot that has to be done.
So with that being said, what would you recommend to these new girls that are going to be on this new season?
Oh, yeah, of course, the new season question.
Girl, get yourself together. Get yourself together and get yourself a plan to be 3 months ahead of where you need to be. And it's very funny because I get asked this question every year at this time. And I'm like, if you're not ready, you're too late. You know what I mean? I remember on my season, I was shooting music videos with Excel, recording the entire album before the season ever aired. You know, I knew that we needed to have it ready to go, and that's been, I think that's still true. If you want to get out there, you have to be a little bit ahead of the ball.
Yeah, I've never understood it when the girls who are cast, you know, they're cast in spring, they record in summer, and then, you know, depending on, I mean, this year it's so weird because they kept pushing the broadcast date back, so this stuff is already almost a year old, legitimately. Right. These girls have had forever.
Yeah.
It should be a situation where every single one of them has a music video that's dropping this Friday as soon as it goes live, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I've never understood the idea of not being prepared.
You have to be prepared, have to be on top of it.
Yeah. So, you've already talked about being so involved in Al and Chuck, and you know, when is the next drag race or the Drag Stars at Sea cruise?
We have three upcoming this year. The next one is going to be in September 9th to the 16th, and it's sailing out of Hamburg, Germany.
Ooh.
And it's a Northern European cruise that includes a stop in St. Petersburg, Russia, which is certainly a little on the more adventurous side for LGBT passengers,
right.
But we're very excited about that. And
where'd she go?
Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, I thought you'd gone to Hamburg, Germany. So,
oh, no.
So that one's coming in September. That one's, oh my God, that sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm really excited for it. We're doing that, and we're doing the Cuba cruise. And then next spring, we are doing Australia.
All right.
Wow. I now that you mentioned the Cuba cruise, I saw, girl, you were the first drag racer ever in Cuba.
The first American drag queen to perform in Cuba, at least since the embargo. So there hasn't been any since 1962. There probably was some before that, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, that was a little crazy.
Wow. What was that like?
It was wild. I mean, first of all, I love Cuba. It's probably the most interesting place that you can visit right now. It is fascinating. The people are fascinating. The culture is incredible. It's definitely a great place to go. But I was going down there for a trip with my boss, actually, from Al, of Al and Chuck, and, we've been very involved with bringing LGBT guests to Cuba. have a working very closely, actually, with the Cuban government because, you know, they run and control everything down there. And we had, I had the idea, oh, I should try to perform while I'm down there. Why not? And we worked closely with the Cuban government to make it happen. And they said, oh, do you want any dancers? And I said, sure. Why not? And they said, how many do you want? And I said, I don't know, two maybe? And they provided me with eight of the most beautiful men you have ever seen in your entire life as dancers. And so I, you know, that happened. I had really struggled over trying to find the right song to perform because, you know, I wanted to really make sure I overcame the language barrier. But at the same time, you know, performing something fun and appropriate. And I had picked Madonna's Express Yourself, thinking, okay, well, you know, this is fun. It's got kind of the right message. And I get to rehearsal, and the dancers had never heard the song before in their lives.
What? Oh, I'm sure. But it's like, you know, they're probably not allowed.
They weren't allowed to for years. And so what I found is going to the nightclubs here, that anything that's current, like the last 2 or 3 years, they've gotten. Because the embargo's been lifted and it's become easier to get stuff in and out. But anything older in that kind of middle group there between the 70s and the 90s, just, you know, unheard of. They don't know a lot of things.
What is the relationship like between Cuba and the LGBT community? Like, what is the atmosphere like there for gays and lesbians, queers, transgender people?
Say the question one more time.
Yeah, like, what is the atmosphere like for the LGBTQ community in Cuba?
Well, it's interesting. You know, as far as I can tell, and I'm certainly no expert, I can only tell you off my experience, that it is definitely, I mean, it is a Caribbean island, you know, so you're dealing with that kind of culture. But believe it or not, they're pretty accepting of gay people. Raul Castro's daughter, who runs many things in the Cuban government, including CineSex, which is basically the sexual diversity department of the government. Imagine the U.S. government having an LGBT office. Imagine.
Wow.
The Cuban government does. And it's run by his daughter, who also happens to be a big old lesbian.
Wow.
You know, the government, which owns everything, owns gay bars. There are 4 protected classes of citizens in Cuba: women, children, elderly, and gay people. So it's kind of this, you know, and listen, is the Cuban history perfect? Have they been always on the right side of equal rights? Absolutely not. But I can only tell you about what's going on right now. And, you know, the LGBT community, like many, many Cubans, is thriving. And it is challenging to grow as the embargo gets lifted very, very slowly. It's not as simple as saying, okay, you guys can go to Cuba. It's not that easy. There's a lot of things that have to change. Slowly but surely getting resolved and getting figured out. You know, they're figuring out as they go.
Wow, that is so interesting. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm sitting here thinking about, like, what you're talking about, like, Alan Chuck is offering this trip to Russia. We know that Russia is not fond of the gays.
Right.
Like, I would not have suspected that Cuba was overly fond of the gays, but it's really, like...
That's pretty cool to know.
Yeah, it's really interesting to know, and to, especially, I guess it kind of makes some sense that if his, you know, the leader's daughter is lesbian, that, you know, maybe things would be a little bit...
Right.
You know, it's like, well...
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the beginning about changing the world by being places. You know, we often think, I think here in the U.S., I remember when there was all the controversy about, you know, Russia and boycotting Russia, and everybody in America thought the solution was, hey, let's dump the Stoli vodka in the streets. And I thought that was such a bad, it was kind of really short-sighted and thinking that that would somehow send a message.
Right.
And that it would somehow ultimately change things. It was just dumb. Yes, you should protest. Yes, you should speak up. Yes, you should do all these things. But, however, doing any of those things that we did here at the time, let's not go to the Olympics, not let's do that, what message does that send to the 14-year-old gay kid living in Russia?
Right.
If we go and we say, we're going here, you know, is it going to change everybody's lives? No. Is it going to change the Russian government? No. But by going, you might meet somebody, and you're going to change that person's perspective. And that's what traveling the world does. You know, the communications you have, the experiences you have, you know, and, you know, of course you have to be smart. You know, it's like, yes, you know, are there issues with going to Russia if you are gay? Yeah, there may be. But, you know, don't walk down the street in Russia, you know, with, you know, a big sequin dress on and screaming, you know, hey, I want to turn your kid gay. Like, that's not going to solve any problems. That's just being, you know, defiant to be defiant.
Yeah, but I mean, with me, like, I'm a black trans woman, and I may be pretty, but I'm still visibly trans, and for me, just existing in certain spaces is not safe.
Yeah. No, and like I said, it's not perfect, you know? It's not everywhere is going to be as easy for everyone to be able to go to. And there are certainly challenges for different parts of our community. For those of us that are able to, you know, go for whatever reason, you know, we can try to slowly start to change the world to make it easier for other people. We have to start to kind of chip a part at it, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand, Pearl. I understand what you're saying because I passability has never been my forte, like,
right.
Either. Like, I can never really pass the street. But I will say that the educational experience of travel for both parties, like the receiving party, wherever you're going, and for the traveler. Like, I know that, for example, I came back from my tour in Taiwan and Philippines a different person than
right.
I left as. Because if for no other reason than just an appreciation for where I am at, for in some capacities,
mm-hmm.
or to look at the places I visited and say, you know what, like, this is different than what I expected, and I like this element, and I think that I would like to make more of that here, and then, you know, meeting people in Taiwan, for example, who were, like, influenced by what we do here, you
right.
know, in the U.S.,
yeah.
and kind of that exchange of culture, everybody does leave it a little different, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I do
yeah.
think that, you know, I think that at its base, that's what you're saying, Mimi, is that, you know, like, that experience of traveling and exposing other cultures, if nothing else, just simply the optimism that being LGBTQ in America is acceptable, and then making them hope for and aspire for that on a localized basis. I mean...
It's not... No one solution is perfect, and no one solution is going to solve the world. And I think that the key is to be open to understanding that you need all the solutions to do it. You need all the solutions. And, you know, not everyone is going to be able to be a part of every solution. You know, some people can't afford to boycott certain things. Some people can't afford to do XYZ. Some people may not be in a place that they can travel to XYZ place, or some people may not actually be physically safe traveling to place XYZ. But if you are able to do something, you should. And, you know, with traveling anywhere and going anywhere, you have to be smart about what you're doing. You know, I feel very lucky that I've traveled literally around the world to many places, including places where it isn't the most accepting of LGBT people, and I've gone with gay people, I've gone with trans people, I've gone with queer women, I've gone with, you know, drag queens, I've traveled with many and have not had issues. That being said, I know that there are many who do. So, you know, is there a risk associated with traveling? Yes. You know, in terms of going to Russia on this cruise, I don't foresee it being a huge issue. You know, you're going to be on an Italian ship, and as far as the Russians are concerned, getting off the ship, you're an Italian, as far as how the paperwork and all of that is processed. So they're not going, oh my God, this big boat of gays are coming. They're not thinking of it that way.
I think that one of the things that I hear both of you saying simultaneously, actually from different angles, is like when you are traveling anywhere outside of your normal area, whether, Mimi girl, you're breathing hard again, bitch. She's doing something really sexy or something over there. She's like, yeah.
Right.
But I think that when you travel outside of wherever your comfort zone is, what you need to be aware of is that the things that are acceptable in one place aren't always acceptable, and they're, you know, I know, for example, culturally speaking, in Taiwan, there were certain things that we did to be cognizant of their local culture.
Right.
And of course, if part of that relates to see, like, I have to be mindful of my own safety.
Be careful. Do your research before you go anywhere.
I mean, there are people who I know that probably, you know, for them, the idea of being out and proud is like, I'm going to go here, and sometimes that does just come across as defiant. Like, are you really being yourself, or are you making a spectacle just for the sake of making a spectacle?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very different than, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to decide how you're going to approach any given situation. You know, if you go to Russia and you want it to be political, it will be political. If you go to Russia to say, I'm going to experience the culture, then go to experience the culture. But don't do one and expect the other.
Right. I do agree with that.
And, you know, only do it if it's safe for you.
Yeah. So,
yeah, if you want to go, you know, go to Russia. I'm all for it. I'm like, go to Russia, go walk down, you know, walk down the street with a political sign and make a political statement. And if that's what's important to you, you should absolutely do that. But just understand, you know, when you do that, you're opening up to a different set of consequences.
Yeah, there's some risks there. So, Mimi, where does the trip to Australia, like, where does that sail out of?
We're sailing out of Sydney right after Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And then we're going out to Liberty Island in New Caledonia, enjoying a couple days at sea. It's going to be a really fantastic trip, and I'm really excited because I've been to Australia before. I did 2 weeks there a little over a year ago, and it was an incredible experience. I've never experienced Mardi Gras, which I'm really excited to do. And then going to do a post-stay in New Zealand, which is where they film movies like Lord of the Rings and so forth. And so it's just beautiful.
Everybody
said it's the most beautiful place in the world. So I'm really excited to go to New Zealand, which I've never been.
Yeah, when I was in Taiwan, I was with a woman, her name is May, and she, you know, we were talking about the most fabulous places any of us have ever been or whatever, and literally, like, my places are so boring, but, so, yeah, anyway, so May said that the most amazing place she's ever been was, like, cave diving down in New Zealand, and I was like, girl, I can't even imagine.
I love it. I've always wanted to go cave diving.
I would love for you to dive into a cave.
Shut up.
Get busy, bitch. So, anyway. So, Mimi, I want you, for our listeners, to, like, set us up with something special. Listeners, I'm going to contact Mimi, and she's going to help set us up with some kind of a promo code or something so you can get, like, I don't know what it'll entail, but it'll be a Party Foul Radio special or something.
Something, girl.
And how can listeners find out more about all of your cruises and the work that Alan Chuck is doing?
Yeah, it's really easy. You can go to alanchuck.travel. Or you can go to dragstars@sea.com.
So that is great. And, of course, like, do you have any big upcoming, you know, you said that you took a while off from the stage. Will you be returning to the stage and returning to touring soon for your fans all around the world?
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of figure out what I want to do next. I'm going to do something a little bit different. So I'm really kind of excited for that. You know, always trying to kind of come up with something, you know, that I haven't done before, because I think it challenges me in an interesting way. So I will, you know, be releasing some of that soon. But, yeah, right now I'm just kind of really figuring out what the next step is, as opposed to just doing something to do something, if that makes any sense.
Right, totally. You know, I really do commend you, because I think that, as I said, and this is not just blowing smoke up her ass, listeners, because she's on here, but I've always said that I just think that you fall into more of a category of what I consider the classic entertainers, along the lines of like a Lady Bunny or a Coco Peru, where you're always looking for, you know, like they have this thing that is their persona, but they're constantly doing new one-woman shows and things of that nature. You always seem to need to be a little more engaged than just the mm-hmm. average kicking and bucking dancer at the club gig type of thing.
Well, I will take that as a compliment.
Well, of course, it's meant to be. So,
thank you.
All right, Mimi, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it, girl.
Yeah, of course. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
And I really had no idea that you were working full-time for Alan Chuck now, and that's just fantastic.
Yes, I am. Full-time Alan Chuck, full-time drag queen, and only part-time sleeper.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You gotta do it.
Do what you gotta do, honey. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll be hitting you up for that promo code for our listeners. We got listeners all over the world, so.
Right.
If we can get them on the, you know, drag stars at sea with our love, we would appreciate that. That'd be great.
We will get that going for you.
All right, honey. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's really cool. Girl, some of those tours and cruises sound pretty fabulous.
Right.
Like, I mean, I would really be hip on going and checking out Cuba. And, of course, like, I would love to do
Australia,
but, like, the thing that, in my mind, like, just going to Australia is already amazing.
Right.
And then the cruise or whatever, but, like, you still have to get your ass to Australia. You know what I mean? So, like, the one that would be most... probably the most doable for me would
Cuba.
Be like Cuba, because I'm assuming that they leave somewhere out of like the U.S. and then they tour and they go, and oh my God. And it sounds kind of like I would really be interested in, from a cultural perspective, checking out Cuba, because I'm just wondering what it would be like in that country, because they had the embargo and they were like so separated from the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the stuff I've seen is very like looks very historic. Anyway, listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more
Party Foul Radio
right after this.
Hey, y'all. This is Bob the Drag Queen. You are listening to Party Foul Radio with Tolio Del Mar and Pearl. Listen up, girl.
Hey, Party Foul listeners. It's Pollo Del Mar, and have I got an exciting opportunity for you. Party Foul Radio has listeners around the world, many of whom have expressed an interest in meeting me personally. Now, thanks to our good friends at Alan Chuck Travel and dear friend Mimi I'm First, we have that opportunity. If six of you go now to dragstarsatsea.com and register for the upcoming September cruise to historic Havana, Cuba, I'll join you. That's right, you, me, and Eight Nights at Sea as we visit historic Havana, Cuba. Cruise packages begin at just $8.99 for this history-making tour of the Caribbean and visit to Havana, Cuba. And that includes an all-you-can-drink booze buffet during Eight Nights at Sea. Go now to dragstarsatsea.com and use the promo code POYO, P-O-L-L-O, and secure your spot on this cruise for just $99 down. That's right, there are payment plans available. If six of you go now, I'll be joining you as we tour with Alan Chuck Adventures. Don't miss this great opportunity. AlanChuck.travel or DragStarsAtSea.com and use the promo code POYO. More details to come on next episode of Party Foul Radio. All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Protease.
Oh, God, those drag queens at those Drag Stars at Sea cruises sound fabulous, I have to admit.
Right. Well, speaking of being out at sea and
at sea
queens and stuff, I actually just purchased my ticket today for the gay cruise at sea here in San Francisco for the one that Brian Kemp produces with DJ Barry Harris.
Really? What? Like, when is that?
It is the Friday before Pride, which I believe June 23rd. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. and I think it goes until 10 p.m. I went last year, and honestly, it was, for me, it was like the best part of Pride. You get on the boat. They have a bar on the first level. They have the DJ.
You know, Pearl just stood at the first bar.
You know, I just stood on the first floor, girl. But they drive you out. You go past the Golden Gate, and then they bring you back. And by the time you get back, I mean, you dance and party in the middle of the water for a while, and then they bring you back. And usually there's a game or something going on, so the stadium lights are all lit up on your way back, and it's really fabulous. It's a lot. It's really nice. I liked it because there was a lot of people, but I wasn't getting stepped on. I wasn't getting pushed over or anything like that.
Oh my God, that sounds really fabulous. How much are the tickets for that?
Tickets are $65 on Eventbrite.
For the cruise and
for
everything?
For the cruise, yeah. And
my God, that is like super affordable.
And you guys, they sell out. So I'm expecting them to sell out probably by the end of this week.
But I need to talk to Brian Kent. I think I want to go.
I went last year, girl. Amazing. Like I said, the best part of Pride for me last year.
I think that sounds amazing, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get on that, bitch.
You guys can go over to the Facebook event page, and there's a link you can click to just go straight to buying the ticket. On Facebook, just type in Gay SF Pride Cruise.
Wow. $65?
$65, girl. I was gagged because when I went last year, a friend had bought my ticket for me, and I had just assumed they were really expensive. But I think they were because he might have bought them from somebody else, and I think that's what some of these hoes do.
Girl, scalpers.
Girl. They go out there and they buy all those tickets, and they wait till like a couple weeks and say, hey, if anyone's looking for tickets, I've got extra if you want to buy them.
Well, I mean, we had Barry Harris on, of course. Listeners, Barry Harris is half of Thunderpuss, Grammy-nominated, Grammy-winning remix artist. But we had him on, and he like was really a fun guest to have on as well. And
I think we had Brian Kent on too.
Have we had Brian Kent on?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think we've had Brian on. I bumped into Brian and David Helton from Left Magazine were chatting it up in the Castro one day, and I walked up and I was like, "What are you two queens doing?" I love Brian.
I love Brian.
So, like, yeah, Brian's phenomenal. He and I go way back, girl. Like, way, way, way back. I interviewed him when he was a recording artist in New York City, and he was on the Logo Click List, bitch. Uh-huh. That's how I met him. And then he moved to San Francisco a while back. And he co-owned Beatbox for a while. Unfortunately, Beatbox is no longer with us.
Right.
But this cruise, girl, you know what?
It's so much fun.
Pearl,
really
I think
is.
You just convinced me, bitch.
You guys,
sorry about it, Pearl. I'm coming.
You guys buy these tickets before this bitch gets her tickets.
we need to, if we both go on.
Well, I'm going. I bought my tickets. I've got the email. Boom.
So.
But if we both go, what?
If we both go, it'd be fun to like maybe like set up a recording thing and like record part of the podcast on the cruise.
We could.
That could be kind of fun.
It would probably have to be on the first floor.
It'd be hella loud, but. That would be something. We need to talk to. I'll talk to Brian and I know David Helton from Left Magazine helped sponsor this and so, of course, visit our sponsors at liveleft.com. Go over and check out Daddy's Barbershop at 19th and Castro. We haven't even mentioned one Daddy's Barbershop thing this time.
And don't forget to check out Swiss Lube,
girl. Your Swiss Navy Lube, bitch. But you know, wait, Pearl. I just got a message from Lexi Shimmers. You want to call Lexi for
what?
Well, she's like, she just woke up from a nap. Do you want to call and get a quick check-in from Lexi?
We can get
you
a quick check-in, girl.
Okay, hold on, you guys. We're going to get her on the phone. We'll be right back. Oh, my God, you guys. because we have our fabulous and infamous Knob Hill Theater correspondent,
you know,
Lexi Shimmers.
Hi, ladies.
What's going on, Lexi?
Well, go tell me how the girls are doing. They're healing up. They're behaving.
They are doing fabulous. They are doing very fabulous, actually.
She's talking. She's asking Pearl about her knockers.
Everyone seems to really like them.
I dream about them every night. Not yours, but
God. Oh, my God, girl.
Lexi is just waiting to get a pair of her own one day, girl.
I am, honey. Oh, yeah. Let's just imagine I'm bouncing around while I'm jogging. My support bra.
Speaking of which, girl,
I saw you at the gym in full drag of some kind. I don't know what is. So,
girl, like, jogging around, girl, you are doing it. You are living a fantasy, girl.
I can't.
Thank you, girl. I was just about to put on a face now and go to the gym. I sure was.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
You better live.
So you live all down south, too, bitch. Like, you must be quite a sight when you go up in the gym.
Well, believe it or not, even when I lived in Mountain View, which is even further south, you know, when I started, like, going into my mail and things, going and just get gas in face, you know, I had a friend from Chicago who comes all the way from Chicago just to be able to walk the streets, you know, as herself, as a female, you know, and I said, oh, well, I live here, why don't I do that, you know, and I started doing it, you know, we got big, fabulous women out here in real life that are my size, you know. So, the people out here, they are very gracious. They're very respectful. You know, they call you ma'am, you know. And,
yeah, because you look like you're going to beat their ass, bitch.
I
love for people to see that, you know, this person just coming to work out. They ain't trying to pick up nobody. They ain't trying to change nobody. They just here to work out. That's it. You know?
I
love for people to see that, you know, just see a big fabulous girl come in, get on the bike, you know, and she ain't bothering nobody. You still working out, ain't nothing changed in the morning except that you saw me. And you don't even have to look that way.
I love it. So that has to be encouraging you to get to the gym more often.
It's a press because you know, sometimes you're late, like this morning it was raining. You know, wow. And sometimes the bed is way more comfortable to get your butt up to paint.
I hear you. You know? Tell me about it.
But my thing is, you know, somebody, a good friend of mine, you know, told me, she said, what you lack, Lexi, is consistency. Yeah. So I'm trying to work on my consistency.
So, like, now, Lexi, I have never, like, well, I mean, I've always, like, largely suspected, but you consider yourself somewhere on the, definitely on the trans spectrum.
Yeah, I consider myself somewhere on that spectrum. You know, I agree with some people that I may not be trans because I'm not dysphoric. Like, I love when people call me man with the body that I have, you know. But like I was telling Pearl, I dream about having my titties. I do dream about getting me some implants.
Well, I mean, Lexi, I have always loved my body for the most part, like, besides wanting, you know, my boobs and to get hips and stuff. But that does not make me any, or you for that matter, any right. less trans than anybody else.
Exactly, because what's the difference between somebody who can't afford to do it, but yet feels, you know, that their body doesn't match what they think, you know, or how they see themselves?
The thing is, if you identify as a woman, whether you want surgeries or not, girl, you're a woman.
So are you a woman, Lexi?
Oh, girl, I've been a woman since day one. Well, yeah. Girl, I should say girl. I wasn't born a woman. I'm like, nobody was born a woman. Can you imagine putting a full-grown woman out your vajayjay?
I can't.
Nobody was born a woman, honey.
I love it.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm so glad y'all called. Girl, oh, my goodness.
I'm glad we called, too.
Girl, so you've been up in the middle of any 100,000 men circle jerks lately,
please,
girl?
Girl.
Well, girl, you know what? I've been down there, and, you know, I've been kind of laying back off of the sex jokes since my mom passed away, because that's gay Disneyland. Everybody know Disneyland is not cheap. Mm. When you go to Disneyland, and Disneyland don't apologize for how much they, how expensive they are. You know, and that's the same thing for, you know, a place like Dom Hill.
So what you're telling us, Lexi, is that because you're having to pay some of your father's bills now that you can't go and get your circle jerk on, bitch? Is this what I'm hearing?
Yes, girl. Like I said, Dom Hill is the gay Disneyland. So they don't apologize for being expensive. You know, now to tell you the truth, now to go downstairs and do the circle jerk, that's only like
$20.
So you, yeah, well, actually it's only $10.
Oh,
it's only
okay. 20,
yeah, it's only $10. So yeah, that's not a lot of money. But you know what? You know, it's still time. Everybody know time is money too. Okay.
Besides the fact that you know Pearl girl, you know that Lexi likes to pay for all the extras.
She wants a hundred. She wants 100 of them, girl.
She's like, well, it cost me $1 a person.
But you know, I think the excitement was too that was my first time. Oh. And the excitement was that it was something different than I expected. You know, I didn't expect for the dancer to be going around to each person touching their
I certainly wouldn't
junk.
Expect that either, girl.
You know, I mean, that was like far more, that was beyond my imagination. That's why I had to make the video, because I was just like, whoa, you know. So.
Oh, no, Miss Lexi Shimmers.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
and if you ever seen a vampire movie, like, where all the vampires are ceasing on this one person, everybody's so thirsty for the blood?
Yes,
that's
girl.
That's really how it looks. It's like everybody's all over this dancer while he's moving from person to person. You know, oh, they all trying to get their feel on the breath, feel on the butt, feel on, you know, it, I mean, his hands all over, you know. It takes a brave person to do that.
Girl, it sure does.
Sure do, girl.
Bitch, it's
you
like...
know, and they're really calm about it, you know? They just casually look up at the owner and be like, how much time have I got left?
Okay.
You know, and he signaled to them. They do the whole... I think it's like 15, 20 minutes they're down there, you know?
Lord.
In the dungeon.
Oh, no. Yes, I couldn't do it. I just could not do that. All that groping and feeling and fondling. Mm-mm. No, honey. No, bitch.
Because, you know, and then after that, they do the sex show, you know.
Girl,
I love the sex show, because I'm a voyeur. I like to watch. So that's why I used to, when I first came to San Diego, one of my favorite places to go was Power Exchange, you know, because, you know, they have these rooms, and you can look in the room and actually see, you know, people getting it on. You know, and...
Girl, could you imagine it, like, up in the Power Exchange? Girl, I went there a couple times. Now, Power Exchange San Francisco is, like, a legendary sex kind of club here in San Francisco.
Yeah, people travel from all over to go there.
And I went there a couple times because I was real curious. Bitch, they had all kinds of sets. I remember back in the old days, they had a boxing ring in the middle of the thing in case you had a boxing fantasy. Then, bitch, my favorite was that they straight up had tents set up in case you had a camping fantasy. Girl,
oh
you better get
God.
Your camper on. But could you imagine looking up in the middle of what you were doing? Lexi's like, ooh. Nah, man.
Oh, girl.
Well, that's where being tall comes in, because usually there's like a crowd there. You
yeah.
know, sometimes the only reason I'm able to see anything is because I can look over the crowd and still kind of see. You know, and I'm blessed with like farsightedness. So
what farsightedness?
So even though with my superpowers, honey. So even though it's far in the corner, I can still see from way in the back in the crowd.
Oh no, she said even though it's far in the corner, girl.
I can see.
Oh, bitch.
You know. So
can you just imagine though, like getting jiggy with it and then looking up and there's Lexia like
way like
way in the
away.
Corner, like waving at you. Right. Hey.
Well, I would go there and face too.
Of course.
Know? And one time I went there and I'm minding my business. I'm trying to just watch and see and do, you know. I'm trying not to be too active, just kind of watching. But there was this little guy, his head was just tall enough to reach my buzz ups. You know, sometimes I say the only difference between being another trans girl is that my silicone is outside my skin while theirs is underneath the skin.
All right.
Everything else is the same. You know, so this guy who's enjoying my silicone, he put his head on. So I said, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this music. And as soon as this song is over, I'm leaving. You know, so I let him lay his head on my silicone breast, pussups, and I left. Next thing I know, I went to a different part of the place, and he shows up again. But this time, you're not supposed to, like, sell your body or nothing like that. But if people give you money, they let you take it. And he gave me money.
What? Where'd
Hold
you
on,
go?
Girl. Hello?
Lexi, what happened,
bitch? It was just getting good, bitch. Hold
wait,
on.
Wait, come back and tell us about your breasts. Oh, hold on, girl. What are we calling that bitch back?
Right.
We need to know. She left us on a cliffhanger.
Right.
We're going to give it a 3. Okay. Call again, bitch. Come back, Lexi. Come back, ho.
Press the call button up here.
Buzz-ups.
What's going on, girl?
Buzz-ups.
We're in the middle of the story, bitch. Don't leave us like...
Buzz-ups.
Baby.
Buzz-ups.
No!
Give me your phone.
Girl, what is going on? We need to find out how this ends.
Buzz-ups.
Right at the end of the hour, bitch.
Where is it?
Buzz-ups.
It's right here.
Buzz-ups.
Okay?
Buzz-ups.
I got a lot of apps on my phone, bitch.
Buzz-ups.
Okay, Lexi.
Buzz-ups.
Press it. Okay.
Buzz-ups.
Put it on speaker.
Buzz-ups. Buzz-ups. Buzz-ups.
Girl, we just...
We got cut out right when you said he was going to give you the money.
What happened with the money, bitch?
Oh, yeah, he gave me money to put his head on my breast. Buzz-ups. And so this time, you know, I played attention to the music, and after one song was over, you know, I walked away. And all night, he followed me that way and was giving me money, so I cleaned up that night. It was
I'm low-key jealous. Girl, you better work.
All right.
No, going to Divas, you learned a little bit, honey. You know? And one thing you learned is, honey, the cookies ain't free.
Oh, okay. Damn. Okay.
Speaking of cookies, we're having another bake sale next week.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll be on the corner of Market and Castro selling my cookies.
Uh-huh. She'll be selling her cookies at the corner of Market and Castro next... What day is it? Saturday?
Uh-huh. All the proceeds will go to the Barrett AIDS Foundation.
Oh, well, good. And then, later that night, she'll be selling her cookies at Divas, probably, girl. Different cookies, different price range.
Right.
Oh, my God. All right, Miss Lexi, you have made our night, the girl.
Fabulous,
you really were the perfect...
Likewise, I love to be here with y'all.
Bitch, you were the perfect way to end this episode.
You really were.
So when will I be able to hear it? What's the...
tomorrow.
What's the show going to air tomorrow? Okay, I'll look out for it.
It'll be out on Wednesday. We always out on Wednesday.
All right, fabulous.
Fabulous. All right, bye, Lexi.
All right, good night, sweetheart.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
That fucking bitch never ceases to scandalize my ass.
Always.
Always is something. She said, you learned that the cookies ain't free, bitch.
Right, girl, she got her coin. I live.
Girl, and you know the best part is? Normally people pay $25 to get into a power exchange, but you get in free if you're in drag.
Or if you're, yeah.
So, or if you're trans. So that bitch got in there for free and then cleaned up inside.
That's everything.
You better go, businesswoman.
That's a businesswoman, girl.
Yes, honey. All right, you guys, speaking of business, we're going to close out. Go support our sponsors at Left Magazine at liveleft.com.
And don't forget to check out Daddy's Barbershop over on
19th and Castro.
And don't forget to lube up with Swiss Navy Lubricants.
Yes, honey. Ellen Friedman at Swiss Navy, we appreciate your love and support.
Hey.
Check out next episode. We are going to for sure have a promo code for you guys from alanchuck.travel. So... we'll find out more about the drag stars at sea. Until next time, I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
Bye.